Good morning. This hopefully will not take the entire hour. Hopefully we will have the opportunity as well to get started on the next topic, but we shall see. The topic is Tzuadaka. We had started way back at the end of Elul's month with a discussion of whom one is not supposed to marry. We've gone very far without actually touching Kiddushin. So we dealt with the issue of non-Jews, we dealt with the issue of Mamzerim, and the last bit that I wanted to talk about is Tzuadaka. Really deserves, obviously, a lot more time than we're going to give it today, but I wanted to do two things. One, to define what is Tzuadaka, what are we talking about? And number two, asking the question of, so who exactly is it that the Tzuadaka is not able to marry? What's the Kedusha status, so to speak, of a Tzuadaka? So I gave you in Source Aleph on the sheet just a quick medical description in case anyone has forgotten high school biology. So the path that Shechva Zera takes, it starts out in the testes, goes through this curved and twisted tube called the epididymis, through the vas deferens into the pelvis, and it's stored in the pelvis. Then when it's ready to come out, it goes out through the urethra, and fluid is added from the seminal vesicles. I stress all of these pieces because they actually matter in terms of the definition of what exactly a Tzuadaka is. So it starts out outside the pelvis, goes into the pelvis where it's stored. Something else has to be added from the seminal vesicles when it's able to, when it's time for it to be produced. If this doesn't fit anyone else's understanding of the biology, stay so now. I am certainly not a biologist. I'm certainly not a doctor. If anyone else has anything to say that corrects this or updates this, it would be helpful.
I thought the sperm was stored in the testes. Maybe
remember. Right, so it's not. It's produced in the testes. It's stored inside the pelvis. That I do know. It could be Nishtana Hateva from the time you were in high school to the time that I was in high school. No. I'm not saying that as a joke. That's not a joke. I'm saying that because we're going to talk about that.
Specific issue with temperature. That's why.
Right. No, in a Hanami, there is that issue in its production in terms of body temperature, and that's indeed from an evolutionary perspective why you're better off having it be produced outside of the body. Okay. In a Hanami, that is true. Nonetheless, in terms of where it's actually stored, it's not stored in the testes. So, what type of damage is it that renders somebody a Tzuadaka? Here, in the course of this year, I'm going to blend two terms that shouldn't really be blended, but just in the interest of being able to get through this topic, I'm blending Tzuadaka and Khrushchevka. Really, there's room to distinguish. When you get to the halachi status, it's the same. But in terms of the definition of what they are, technically these are different phenomena that are, of course, related. So take a look at source Beis from the Shulchan Aruch. Ezu Tzuadaka. What exactly is this Tzuadaka case? Kol shenitzu habeitzim shelo. If the testes are damaged, ukrus shafcha, and what is krus shafcha? Kol shenichras hagid shelo. If the member is severed. Not severed entirely even, but that's its own discussion in terms of what the extent of the damage is. And this is really the key for us. There are three parts through which the male can become disqualified. Begid, the member, beitzim, the testes, ubishvilim shebahem mispashal shechva zezera, as well as the shvilim, the tubes, in which the shechva zezera mispashal. Obviously, that does not mean cooked, despite our brief comment about body temperature, but it refers to ripening in the same way that bishul pri is ripening. And those shvilim are called the chute beitzim. Those seem to be the epididymis and the vas deferens, biologically. That's what it would seem. Worth noting, one only becomes a Tzuadaka in certain ways. In other words, not all damage to the male reproductive system, even if it fits the physical description here, not all damage is going to render the person a Tzuadaka. The Gemara in Yevamasai and Hegemet Beis in Source Gimel, Amar of Yehuda Mer Shmuel, Tzuadaka bidei shamayim kosher. If it happens bidei shamayim, what in the world does bidei shamayim mean? A meteor came out of the sky. What does bidei shamayim mean? That was such that we say that he's kosher. No, it's not far-fetched at all. As you'll see. Take a look at the Rambam in Source Dalet, in Hilchos Yisuri Bia. Kol psul she'amarnu be'inyan zek, shelo hayu bidei Shemayim. When we say that this disqualifies him from marrying certain people, that's only if it was not bidei shemayim. Kigon, for example, here are the non-bidei shemayim things. Kigon shekarso adam, a person did this to him. Kelev, a dog did it to him. Hiko, a thorn. Keotze bedvar melu. Al
Aval im nolad krus shavcha o b'tzua daka o shnolad below beitim. If a person is born that way, it's congenital. That's considered bidei shamayim. Undescended is actually a discussion. I don't want to go there. The oshachala machmas gufa ubatlo mimenu evarim elu, or a person had some kind of physical disease that he contracted that somehow damaged these evarim. Osha nolad bohem shchin vehimsa osan, or shchin developed shchin. We always render shchin as boils, right? Thanks to our Haggadah Shel Pesach. But it's more than just boils on the skin. It actually is some kind of deteriorating. It destroys physical structures. The karsan, or cut them. Either it liquefied them or it cut them. Hareze kasher lavo bakal. So he's allowed to get married. Shakol elu bidei shemayim. All of those qualify as bidei shemayim according to the Rambam. So what are your bidei shemayims? Congenital or a contracted disease. Those are your bidei shamayims. However, Rashi and the Rosh disagree on that Gemara in Yevamos. I brought you the Rashi here in Source Hey. Bidei shamayim, Rashi says, al yedei ra'amim u'barad. Right? You were laughing when I said a meteor. No, it means from shamayim. That's what it means. Thunder, hail, oime eimo, or something congenital. And indeed, both positions are brought in the Shulchan Aruch. If you take a look at Vav, Kol Pisol Sha'amu Be'inyan Zem, when we talk about disqualification, Kshalohaya Bidei Shamayim, that's if it was not Bidei Shamayim, and he gives you the Rambam's definition, Karso Adam, Hikoko, Tzkiyoti B'dvar Melu, right? He gives you the definition for, well, first, the Bidei Adam, the violence from a human being, or from a thorn, or whatever it is. He leaves out the animals, for some reason, as opposed to the congenital case, or the case where someone contracted a disease, all that's straight out of the Rambam, and he says so. Shekol elu b'dei shemayim l'harambam. Avol l'rashi v'harash, but he says, Rashi and the Rosh say no. That's not b'dei shemayim. B'dei shemayim is not disease. That's b'dei adam. What is b'dei shemayim? Ra'amim barad, thunder, hail, mimeimo, aval ayyidei choli, he says it explicitly. Ayyidei choli, if it's by illness, chashiv bidei adam upasol. And the Rosh says that's the Yerushalmi as well. Yes, Azer.
Why would that be considered bidei adam?
I don't know.
Misvara, okay.
I don't know. Okay. It's worthy of its own shear to really figure out what the logic is. It sounds more like it's based on this Yerushalmi that the Rosh is quoting in the language of the Yerushalmi there than a Svara.
Okay.
And all that goes according to the Rambam. Is there a continuum down to Tzum Tzum, or these are separate?
I think separate issues. Yeah, I believe separate issues. The Tum Tum is royal of a bakal. You just need to do surgery.
Right. That may be considered also no like Kushafa.
Why?
Why? Because he was born without a neighbor. Everything is.
But he has a neighbor. He's just covered up.
Born with a neighbor, exactly.
Yeah.
If the Svara is some sort of culpability.
It's not.
That's why I said.
Yeah. Now you have to go see the Yerushalmi, really.
Like when somebody hits you or whatever.
Right. Interestingly, and very, very important in terms of practical shilos that come up, is Manenu, the Chasam Sofer, based on the Smag, says that if the act that renders the person a whatever it is, Psodaka Krishkapha, whatever it is a therapeutic act, meaning it's done to help the person, he's not called a psuadaka. He's not called a krushafla. And the reason this is so important is because it comes up as a question in prostate surgery. Take a look at the Chasam Sofer in Source Zion. Kimidumali, Shemafurish Hadavar Bekavanas Hasmag Al Koponim, Shekasav Lavin Kufyutes, Omer Shmuel, Kol Psul Be'inyan Zek Shohaya Bidei Shamayim. Right? This is the quote that we saw in Yevamasayin Hay in Source Gimel. He says, if it's not Bidei Shemayim, that's when the person is disqualified. Ela Bidei Adam, Bipshi Aso. That's the key word. He adds in Bipshi Aso. Kigon Karso Adami Kokos. Alo Nola Kach, Oye De Holy Shiro Lo, Kasha Lava Bakal. And then he excludes a person born that way or has an illness like we saw in the Rambam. Me'arichos Lashon Zem Vur Lahedya. the svira le kol shelo karso karso adam bepshiaso el rap ome cholyo kosher. His definition of pshia is not the intent, the definition that you're thinking of from the bavas. Pshia here doesn't mean careless versus intentional. Intentional will also render the person a kushafcha. However, he's taking pshia in its broader sense. Think like pesha, as in an avera case. If it's done in a harmful way, in a destructive way, but if it's done for refuah, then in fact the person remains kosher. Mind you, I don't want to oversimplify the prostate surgery question, because there are really two separate issues that are dealt with there. One is the question of, are you rendering the person a psuadaka? The more serious question is this an act of sirus, such that it's an isser del raisa? You know, and what about where you're doing something which will sever something temporarily, but then ultimately they will be able to reproduce again afterwards? Is that an act of serious? If you go on Wayu Torah, you can find a shiur I gave many years back on this topic, back when I knew the topic. The recording still knows, so if you get the recording, you'll find it there. Just within this, the Chazon Ish says the same thing in Source Ches. He says, in the case of a surgery, it's not called bidei adam, such that it will disqualify him. It is bidei adam, but it's not to disqualify him. That's not the case either. That's odd. Why did I retype that if that wasn't what I wanted? Nonetheless, the Chazon Ish does say so in Eben Ezer Yud, and it appears that I just brought the wrong Chazon Ish for reasons I don't know. The other piece of it that the Chazon Ish does bring, and that's, you know what I did? I see what I did. I brought consecutive pieces, and that's all. Okay. Take a look at Tess, because Tess is important. It's the wrong citation in Ches for what I wanted, but the Chazon Ish in Ches is important. He says that if the harm is not permanent, if it heals, then the person is not considered a psuadaka even before it heals. Nira de kevan de nisra'a choser lehechshero uch desanya besifri psuadaka choser kus shavcha eino choser upaska asmag huva b'shilta agibor, I believe, reish parakar'al v'ein cholik bazeh v'anan kaimalan de gam kus shavcha choser. We say that the psuadaka is choser, we say the kus shavcha as well.
And this is after the
right. So this is my question.
After the repair,
right? That's what I'm not sure of now. As I'm reading it, I'm not sure whether I meant that it was during he's still fine, or it's only afterwards that he's fine. I'm not 100% sure. I'd have to go back in and go look. There are a few pieces that this depend on. There's Yam Shel Shlomo and Yevamos Ches in particular that's very worth seeing on this. I don't want to answer and get it wrong.
Why would you think that there'd be any doubt if it's chozer that it'd be okay later?
Because I might have argued that once a person has suffered this wound, that's it. He's now in the status of psuadaka.
But he's not anymore.
In a chanami. But once you've suffered it, one might say that that's a disqualification. Loved Afka. The whole thing is Geras HaKasa. It's not like it's based on Svara.
I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about...
No, I understand what you're saying. I would not have been shocked to see it said that it's he remains Osir.
I mean, it says it pretty clearly that, you know, Chris Chalkainov was there.
Right, it's just that...
It's just that
once
it is closed
there.
Going back to the biology, so some of this definition depends on where the harm is. So some poskim say that it only refers to damage that is outside of the pelvis. Inside the pelvis will not render a person a psuadaka Chris Shavcha. The Chalkis Yaakov brings this in Source Yud. He seizes on that phrase that we used before about the shvilim shebahem misbashel shichva zera, the shvilim in which it ripens. So he says, "Ubishtiltos parshas kitetze mavur lahedja patsua bechulan." Bein shenivtzu beitzim, bein shenivtzu agid, bein shenivtzu gidei beitzim, bein shenivtzu gidei agid. If anything, it sounds like, is crushed. That's the language of the Sheiltos. Ukapirish hamek davar lenitziv sham, as the Nitziv wrote, v'zem muchrach, inivtzu b'makom shenivloyim b'beitzim, kari lehu rabbanon gidei beitzim. If the damage is where it's in the testes, that's what they call gidei beitzim. V'inivtzu b'makom shenivloyim b'gid, and if it's where it's inside the gid, that's gidei agid. did. That's those tubes. Mufurish Yotze, what emerges from there explicitly is Dirak Hachutin Shabesoch Evreha Meshagel Besoch Hakiso Begid. He says, so it's only when it's in the tubes that are either in the testes or in the member. Nesa Mishum Tzuadaka. Veloba Makomacher, but not anywhere else, meaning that intervening area inside the pelvis is not subject to it. Viagidal Avreyel, Degam Ladas Harambam Kain. He says, the Rambam will also say this. Dirak Be Evreha Meshagel Ukoshano Beferish Mishnah's Peraka Arel. The Rambam in his comment to the Mishnah in Yevamo says, "Mimasha tetzarech leida shekshenitza hagid ochutei beitzim etc." Uvechlau kocholi shi ischadesh biklei hazera mimashi chayv chokmas hateva shehulo yazria bahen harehu pasul. That's what he writes. The ubeistetim guvsa dezera de pasul mishum de shalob bemekoma lo mevashla gamkein harayasa behagid beechad me evrei hazera. And here's the part that matters now most, the part at the end here. I don't want to get into istetim guvsa dezera. It's its own discussion. Avomasha bifnim cheder habeten. That's the pelvis. Okay, that which is inside cheder abeten zelo mikri aver hazera v'ze atam shelo hizkir achad mei poskim erishonim v'achronim lufsol bazeh, which is why no one ever mentioned disqualifying them. They only talk about the beitzim and they talk about the gid. They don't talk about what's going on inside. It's not that they don't know that it goes inside. It's that there is no psul there. And the Chazon Ish took this as well. The Chazon Ish says v'hine in source Yid Aleph k'fi hayadua al pi arofim hashvilin nichnasin la'omek beguf. The tubes enter into the body. He says, don't you know? That's what the doctors say. He was apparently a neurologist, but not a urologist. For those who remember this story. So the shvilin enter the body, over in kmochatzi keshes. They follow a path that's like a half bow. What he means by that is not to describe the twisting of the tubes. His point is that it arcs inside the body from where it enters until the part where it's ultimately going to exit. So he said, Ashnich nasim legid, to the point where it enters the gid, that's in the urethra. Va'over in derech hagid v'zormen lachutz. Umidelo huzku begemaru aposkim. From the fact that the gemara and the poskim never mention the parts that are inside the body, mashma debemakom shashvilin bifnim einam bechla p'tzuadaka. That means it's not a p'tzuadaka. Ve'eno nifsal elem nifsa v'nidach begid ubeitzim mechutin shebohem. Avalo chutin hapnimim. Sorry, my retail. Type is there. It's not a samach, it's a mem. Shebesel chaguf. Va'abim mistareis al yedei krisas hashvilim besel chaguf mikomakom eino neser bakal. Even if the person becomes a saris, if the tubes inside the pelvis get cut, it still won't make him a p'tzuadaka. That's the position taken by the Chazon Ish. However, there is a problem. And really, I wouldn't take time on this problem, except it's one of the big sugyos when they talk about problems of modern science with passages in the Gemara. This sugya in the Gemara is one of the keys. I remember when I took biology with Rabbi Dr. Tendler, he spent a lot of time on this. I had no idea what he was talking about whatsoever, but he thought this was a really important Gemara for this discussion as well. So I'm going to present the Gemara, show you what the problem is, and show you the approaches that Chazal have offered to it. Three approaches emerged from the 20th century. Here's our problem. Gemara in Bechoros, the source Yud Beis, Tana Rabbanan, Shnei Nikavim Yesh Bo Ba'adam. It says that there are two holes in a human, well, in a male. Echad Motzi Shesen, Ve'echad Motzi Shechva Zera. Through one of them a person urinates, and through the other one they produce Shechvas Zera. Ve'ein Bein Zela Zeh Ela Keklipas Hashum. And between the two you only have a division that is like a garlic-thin membrane. B'shasha Adam Nitzrach, when a person has to go, in Nakhu Zela Tavzeh Nimtza Akar. If they are pierced, if the membrane is pierced such that one goes into the other, that will render him sterile. And the problem with this is that that's not at all the way human biology looks today. I'm sorry, it's just not true. You don't have two holes. There's one hole and both things come through the urethra and emerge from the body. That's the way it works. So that's a really big problem. The Gemara in Yevamos, in Source Yud Gimel, takes us back to the Istatim Guvsa that we mentioned before, but now you have to see it. Ha'u uvda da'ava v'pumbadisa. The story happened in Fallujah. Istatim guvsa de'shichvas zera v'apik v'makom ketanim. That it sounds like it's saying the tube for seed, the tube for shichvas zera was stopped up such that the shichvas zera instead went through the path for urine. And it emerged from there. Savra Bibi Barabaye Lachshuy. Rabbi Barabaye wanted to say this person is still kosher. Amar of Papi Mishum Da Asu Mimuloi Amrisu Muli Mili Muliasa. He says, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to leave the insult to the Babylonians. The Bimakoma Mivashla Shalabim Koma Loma Vashla. If it's in the right place, then it ripens, so to speak. The seed develops, and if not, then not. And again, we don't know what you're talking about. What two different tubes do you mean? They travel in the same tubes. So the first approach is the Chazanish's approach, and this is what I meant with my comment to Rabbi Yeris before. The Chazanish writes in Source Yadalid, Uba Davarzen Ishtanu Hativayim. Okay, so the world has changed. In the days of the Gemara, they had two holes. Now, whatever mechanism it was that developed, it's now changed. Now there's only one. In we only have one path. And the seed will enter the same way that the urine enters at the end that's closer to the pelvis. So he says, look, the idea of Nishtana Ateva is not the Chazon Ish's invention. You find that already in Tosfos. So don't be so shocked at the idea that this could have changed. Chazon Ish says, don't blame me, I didn't invent that. Rav Chaim David Padua wrote a sefer called Cheshev Ha'efod, who says, I'm sorry, as appealing as the idea of Nishtana Ateva is, and without questioning the principle of Nishtana Ateva, you can't apply that here. Because the Mishnayos themselves talk about there being one. Forget the question of biologically how, when, and why such a change would have happened, and any evaluation of cadavers and mummies and who knows what. You have a Mishnah and Mikvos. The Mishnah and Mikvos, Perichas Mishnah Dalid, says explicitly that a Baal Keri, right, a man who has emitted seed, is Tamei if he goes to Mikvah before he has urinated. Why? Because there's Keri that's still sitting in the tube. But I don't understand. You told me there are two different tubes. Obviously, there's only one tube. That's very clear. And if you look at Rashi on that Mishnah, if you look at the Rambam on that Mishnah, as I state, it's very clear. There's only one tube. That's exactly what's going on in that Mishnah. Further, also in Mikvah's Parakles, you have another Mishnah that talks about Mayim Achurim, cloudy water, so to speak, coming out of a person's body when he urinates from a mixture of the fluids. According to this, the fluids can't mix at all. So I don't know what the Chazon Ish would say back, because the Chazon Ish knew the Mishnah is in Mikvah's backwards and forwards. I don't understand why, what he would say to resolve this, but I think the question's a really good question, and he brings many more sources. I just brought you these two Mishnahs because they're easy pickings. Yeah.
My guess is he would answer, without getting too graphic, that nobody
there's
said
a part
they were
where they merge
to, right, exactly, and it's a question of where we're saying they merge.
Kenzine. There are problems with that biologically, but I understand what you're saying.
That could be also could be that what didn't all happen in one country at the same time with the Shinui Ateva?
So maybe in the mission,
maybe in one place.
Missions are in Eretz Yisrael, and they're in Mili, they're in Babel, clearly, for this other discussion, yes. Babylonians are weird. Okay, this fellow, Rav Chaim David Padua, in his Cheshev Ha'efod, he's not a fellow, he's a serious Talmid Chacham, has another explanation of the sugyos. He comes up with another idea, but it relies on there being a hole between the seminal vesicle, that where the fluid is added to the Sheikh Vazera, and the urethra. And the Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, I didn't actually bring it on here, but he's quoted in the Nishmas Avram in Eben Ezer, Hey, Siv Gimel. So you can look there and you'll see the quote from Shlomo Zalman. But he says, I don't understand. You're saying that the case that the Gemara is dealing with in Yevamos Ayin Hey is a case in which there was such a hole deep inside the person. So Shlomo Zalman said, how in the world did they know that the man had a hole that far inside? Isn't that a Ruach HaKodesh discussion? In other words, this is a man who has Shikva Zera emerge in that other way. No one would ever know that it was emerging that way, that there was a hole, and that there was. It doesn't make any sense. So Shlomo Zalman rejects the Cheshev HaEfod approach on that basis. Third approach comes from Rabbi Mordechai Halperin, and he wrote it up in the journal Asya. I referenced the article here in Source Tezvah. I believe it's available online. I have it in my own, but I think you can Google phrases that are in Tezvah, and you should probably be able to find it. And he makes the argument as follows. He says, the two holes that are referenced in Bechoros, when it says, Shnei Nekavim Yeshbo Ba'adam, so one of them is the urethra, which comes from the bladder, and the other one is the entry from the seminal vesicles to the urethra, where it injects the liquid. And when it says that there's a garlic-thin membrane, we've been imagining it wrong. Or I've been imagining it wrong. I've been imagining that that means that you have two tubes with a very thin membrane in between them, and if there's a hole in it, then the two lead... He says, no, that's not what's going on. He says, if you imagine that this is the tube, you can see it on the recording, if you imagine this is the tube, so there's one entry here into the urethra, right? And then there's another entry here. And the garlic-thin membrane is between those two entry points. It's not the valve. That's not what he's suggesting. It's the actual tube itself. That is the upper part of the urethra between the bladder and the entry from the seminal vesicles. And that area is contracted by a sphincter during tashmish. Meaning at a time when the man is going to be with a woman, at that point, there's a sphincter that closes it such that urine isn't going to enter from the bladder, and instead you'll only get the fluid from the seminal vesicles going in, and that's what's supposed to happen. What happens if the sphincter doesn't work? If there's no contraction, then zera can end up, forget the concern for urine going forward, zera can go backward into the urethra. Retrograde, exactly. Which can cause acrus, it could actually sterilize the person, it also cause infection. Which is the major problem. So in the case in Yevamos, as Rabbi Mordechai Halperin describes it, the seminal vesicle was sealed in this person, right? Like the Gemara says, istitim gusa deshirva zera. So the seminal vesicle was sealed. The sphincter did not contract. And so zera went back into the bladder and emerged b'makom hashesen, meaning it emerged when urine emerged. That was what they were observing. And the Nishmas Avram himself in Evan Ezer Hey Gimel takes a similar approach to the idea. You can see what I wrote here in Tezvav. I'm not going to read it out because it's exactly what I just told you. But you can see it you can see it there as well. So if you take their approach, which I think is interesting both in terms of understanding Pshat and the Gemara, but also now is relevant for our discussion about what renders someone a Ptsuadaka, if I'm going to take that approach, then that means that damage to parts inside the pelvis can count as Ptsuadaka. Right? That's the upshot of this. Because you're talking about things that are happening way inside. It's inside the body. It's before it enters the gid. Yeah. But they seem to think that damage to internal parts can indeed render a person a Ptsuadaka, because if you look back at the Gemara, the story in Pumbedisa, they labeled the person an Akar. Right? That's so this is a real issue. So that's the machlokes, is if damage is inside in the pelvis, before it enters the gid, will it render the person a Ptsuadaka or not? And obviously there's much more to say, but at least this is a little bit of an introduction to what we're talking about, so that we don't just talk about halachas of Ptsuadaka without ever defining our terms. Jeffrey,
you were going
to say? No. Oh, okay. All right. So what is the kedusha of a Ptsuadaka? So the key piece for us to see is the Gemara Yevamos source Tezai, and we've actually referenced it in discussing Mamzerim as well. I'm skipping a piece within this just because it's confusing for those who haven't been learning this Yevamos Sukkiah. The whole Losis Chatin Bum discussion that we had way back when comes back to bite us now, but it's not necessary to understand the sugya, so therefore I just put in three dots where we hit that. Mishnah says, Ptsuadaka ukrus, source has zayin, Ptsuadaka ukrus shavcha mutarin begiyaris umishukhraris ve'inan asurin elam ilava bakal. Ptsuadaka ukrus shavcha are allowed to be with a giyaris, are allowed to be with a shivcha who was freed, so the convert is not a problem for them. They only are not allowed to marry kahal. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, lo yavo ptsuadaka uchus shavcha bikahal Hashem. So kahal is off limits to them. So far, so good. That's relatively straightforward. The Gemara then says, though, bo minemar of sheishas. They want to know what exactly is the status of this ptsuadaka. Ptsuadaka kohen. Mal begiyaris umshukhraris. What if he's a kohen? Is he still allowed to the giyaris? The Mishnah just said ptsuadaka is mutter to a giyaris. That's all it said. So what about if you're dealing with a Kohen? On the one hand, you could say he's still a Kohen. Kohen is Aser to a Giyores. So therefore, he's Aser to a Giyores. But you shall say Kohen. He remains in his status as a Kohen. And therefore, the Aser, he's Aser to her. Oh, Dimalav, but you shall say Kohen. Bishari, or maybe not. Maybe, by being a Ptsuadaka, he loses his Kedusha as a Kohen. And therefore, he's Mutter to the Giyores. Because when you think about it in the Mishnah, why did you need to say he's allowed to marry a Gioris? Right? If you're not talking Kohen, you're talking about regular Yisrael, Yisrael's always allowed to marry a Gioris. So I would have thought maybe it's because I'm thinking Tzuadaka shouldn't be allowed to marry her because he's a Tzuadaka. But in that case, he can't marry anybody, maybe. Right? Loyal the Kal Hashem. Is it making a statement about her? So the way we're trying to read it now is that what we're saying is if he's a Kohen, maybe he should indeed be usher to a Gioris. Amar le Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes gives the first answer. Tani Sui says, we learned this. We've learned Tzuadaka Yisrael Mutter Binesina. A Tzuadaka who is a Yisrael is allowed to marry a Nesina. A Nesina, remember from our earlier discussions, is a woman from the Givonim who were among the seven Knani tribes who converted to Judaism, right? They made the deal, they tricked Yehoshua, Yehoshua Perek Tess, read your Torah Torah for a nice write-up for Rabbi Abbey. They tricked the Jews into accepting them as converts. You didn't mention in your column that a Tzuadaka might be able to marry a Nesina.
Talking to
you. That would have made it fun reading. Not that it's not already. So the Tzuadaka Yisrael is allowed to marry the Nesina, even though everybody else is not allowed to marry the Nesina. So doesn't that tell me he loses his Kedusha? If no one else is supposed to marry a Nesinim, and the Tzuadaka is able to marry a Nesina, here you have your answer. If you think he retains his Kedusha, what about the pasuk that says Lo Sischatein Bam? The assumption right now is that there's a biblical prohibition against marrying Nesinim. So my conclusion from Rav Sheshes is Tzuadaka does not have Kedusha. That's why he's allowed to marry a Nesina. I'm sorry?
Can he eat Truma?
I believe the answer is yes. It's a different type of disqualification. Yeah.
So it's Kedusha then.
Right, but there are people who have Kedusha there are people who can eat Truma and yet are not allowed to marry certain other people. They have marital issues. Chalal would be an example of that. Yes.
Right, so therefore, this Kohen can marry the Nesina.
So the Kohen can marry, correct. He's allowed to marry the Nesina. That's exactly right. His Kedusha is gone. That's the idea. So Amar Rava, Rava first challenges Rav Sheshes. And he says, wait a minute. The issue with Nesinim has nothing to do with Kedusha. He says, that's not the issue. The issue with Nesinim is a different discussion, and this is the part that I skipped here. But it's a gzeret derabbanan not to marry the Nesinim. It has nothing to do with Kedusha. The fact that you allow the Tzuadaka to marry the Nesina does not demonstrate an absence of Kedusha. Therefore, I could still say, I don't have to say, this is really important, I don't have to say this, but I could say that he still retains his Kedusha. Right? There are two possibilities. Either he lost his Kedusha, but it doesn't affect his ability to marry the Nesina, or he has his Kedusha, and it doesn't affect his ability to marry Nesina. But the point is, his heter to marry the Nesina does not indicate anything about his personal Kedusha. That's going to matter when we try to decipher the Rambam. The third part, though, the third approach, Hadar Amar Rava Lav Milsahi. Rava says, forget everything I told you. It's not true. I made a mistake. The Nasin is indeed biblically prohibited. And therefore, he sides with Rav Sheshes, and he says, the heter of a Tzuadaka Yisrael to a Nesina indicates that he loses his Kedusha. So Rav Sheshes and Rava version 2 believe that the Tzuadaka has lost his Kedusha, and therefore is allowed to marry Psule Kahal. That's the upshot. Whereas Rava number 1 says the Tzuadaka has Kedusha and is only mutter to a Nesin, or a Nesina, right? Not a Nesin. Because that's a derabbanan issue and it's not about Kedusha. Got it? So if you have to choose in Psak between Rav Sheshes and Rava's final answer on one side and Rava's Havamina on the other side, who would you follow? Ostensibly, Rav Sheshes and Rava number 2. Mm-hmm. Right? First of all, Rava is Basroi. Right? He's after Rav Sheshes. And second, he changed his mind. He said Rav Sheshes is right. So this should be an open and shut case. You should be able to say that he lost his Kedusha, the Tzuadaka lost his Kedusha, beginning, middle, end. That should be it. Our problem is the Rambam. Take a look at source Yud Zayin, Yud Zayin Yud Ches. Three statements from, actually Yud Zayin Yud Ches Yud Tes. I didn't realize that I'd given it a separate number. That was a mistake. But it doesn't matter for our purposes. So in source Yud Zayin, the Rambam is talking about the status of Nisinim. And he says, Mishn is Gaya Mishiva Amamin Einan Asurumin Hatara Lava Bakal. Biblically, they convert from the seven nations. They're allowed to marry whoever they want. However, we know that only the Givonim converted out of that whole batch. And Yeshua decreed, Shuasurim Lava Bakal. It's Gzeira Dirabanan. And actually, I see there are Shemos on the sheet. I missed it. So please take care of disposing properly. If you want, I will dispose of it for you. But at the end of the second line in Yudzayan, the Pasuk, I missed it. That has Shemos there, but the Rambam says that the issue here. Sorry, the Rambam says that Nisinim are aser only midirabanan, exera from Yeshua, reinforced by David HaMelech, and so on later on as the Gemara details. Point being, who is he siding like? Rav Sheshes, number one, well, Rav Sheshes and Rava number two, or Rava number one?
Well, he's not discussing this case. There could be other sources that contribute to such a discussion.
Uh-uh.
There aren't? There's nowhere else in Chaz that indicates anything about whether
about Nisinim? No,
not Nisinim.
I'm talking about the Nisinim. All he talked about was Nisinim in this line.
He's talking about
Nisinim and the rest of Shiva'am. Yeah, and yes, this is your source. Because
okay.
They're the only ones who are in his Geyer. Yes. The answer is that the Rambam in Soros Yitzayin seems to paskin like Rava number one. That Nisinim are only a Derabbanan. Now, the Havamina in the course of our discussion is therefore he should follow Rava number one entirely, and he should say that that means that the Ptua Daka has Kedusha. But then you look at source Yud Ches, and the Rambam writes Ptua Daka Ukus Shavcha Shanasu Bas Yisrael Ubalu Lokin Malkos for them to marry a Yisraelis Umutaran Lisa Giyaris Umishuchreris. They're allowed to marry Giyaris. They're allowed to marry the Mishuchreris. La Filu Kohen Shu Ptua Daka Mutar Lisa Giyaris Umishuchreris La Fi Sheino Bikdusha So. Black and white. He lost his Kedusha, right? It's very explicit. Va'afilu Nisina O'echad Min Hasfekos Mutaris Lo. And even an Asina would be mutter for him. So that's very clearly, right, like Rava number two in Hersheshes. He says the Kedusha is gone. He said that word for word. And therefore he can marry all these people. And then you get to the third line in the Rambam, which I brought you in source Yates, Halacha Beis. Ha'olub tzuadaka aser lavo bakal lo gazru bo'al an Asinim bo'al asfeko. Since he's not allowed to marry a kahal, meaning regular people. Therefore, when the Gzeret Derabanan was issued on Nisinim, as well on Sfekos. Sfekos means? What is Sfekos? Safek Mamzer, Safek Psule Kahal. Right? They said he's allowed to marry the Sfekos. Avo Ptsuadako Kushakha Aser B'Mamzeres Vadois, but he's Aser to a real Mamzeres, Sharei Asura Min HaTorah, because she is biblically prohibited. He's not allowed to be with a mamzeres. Is that like Rav Sheshes and Rava number two, or is that like Rava number one? The iser to a mamzeres.
Rava number one.
It's like Rava number one, that he has Kedusha. I don't understand what in the world the Rambam has done. On the one hand, he sounds like Rava number one when he says Nisinim are derabanan. And he sounds like Rava number one when he says the Ptsuadaka is asir mamzeres. On the other hand, he said that the Ptsuadaka Kohen is allowed to marry a Giyores and no Kedusha. That's like Rava number two in Hersheshes. So what are we doing? We have scrambled Rambam. So we have two problems in the Rambam, really, when you break it down, which I'd like to do. First problem is, as stated by the Raivad, and that's the obvious problem in Source Chaf. Kasev HaRaivad Zal, Ubraisezu Heviyo Lomar Kach, he says, where did the Rambam get this idea regarding the Tzuadaka that he's allowed to marry the Nesina, but he's not allowed to marry the Mamzeres? Because the Braisa said, Tzuadaka Mutter B'Nesina. It said she's Mutter B'Nesina, V'lo Amar B'Mamzeres. It didn't say he's Mutter B'Mamzeres. Ama Asur B'Mamzeres. V'hai svar alone hira, but he says that can't be. Chad the masnisin katani ve'ein an asurin ella mi lavo bakal. The Mishnah says he's not allowed to marry into the kahal.
Only.
I'm sorry. He's ein asurin ella. Sorry. Correct. The only iser is for him to marry kahal, and the mamzeres is not kahal. So therefore, I would argue he should be mutter to mamzeres. So the first problem that you have is this. How can you simultaneously say that the Ptsuadaka is Asur Lavo Bakal, which you said in Halacha Beis, right, in Source Yates, You said he's osur lavo bakal, and at the same time tell me that he's osur to a mamzeres, right? Which you said to me in halacha aleph. That's the Ravid's statement of the problem. That's one problem. The other problem is the one that I pointed out as we read it, which is that in source Yud Zayin he seems to side with Rava number one that nesidim are gzer derabbanan and not about kedusha, and then in halacha aleph in source Yud Ches he says psuadaka has no kedusha, which is explicitly like Rav Sheshes in Rava number two, and then in halacha beis in source Yud Tes he says psuadaka is asur u'mamzeres, implying that he does have kedusha. Like Rava number one. So what do we do? So the Ravid solution is what the Ravid often does, which is to say, you can't resolve this Rambam, leave him be and don't follow him. No, that's the position of the Ravid. Take a look at source. I didn't bring it in source Chafalif. Just kidding. But the Ravid solution to the problem is to say the Ptua Daka has no kedusha and is allowed to marry a Mamzeres.
That is in Chafalif.
It's in Chafalif.
Yep.
Chafav is the Magid Mishnah. Oh, because that's what I meant when I wrote it. You're right. Okay, that's why I included it. Thank you. Borsha Kivanta. In source Chavalev, the Magid Mishnah is quoting the Ravid. He says, "Bamafreshim chalukim bazeh, yesh mishesover shu muter apilu b'mamzeres v'zeu das haRavid b'asagos as well as the Rashba." Good. And then he goes on to tell you that the Baal HaMor sides with the Rambam. Right. So yes.
Is it after Rabbanan Daraisa?
Sort of sides with the Rambam.
What do you mean? He says he does.
Is there Ravoda Kahal Adoraisa and the Rambam is it Rabbanan? Is that what would be the...
No, he's not resolving. He's not solving for the Rambam. Simply saying the Rambam is contradictory, and
therefore he's
and therefore discard him and build your own answer. The Ravid's position is that we follow Rava number two and we follow Rav Sheshes. Ptua Daka has no kedusha, and therefore he's allowed to marry a mamzeres. That's the
children.
I'm sorry.
If they had a child,
it would be mamzeres. Well, wait a minute. He's a Ptua Daka.
He's no Kedusha. Right.
He's a Ptua Daka. There are no children.
Ptua Daka was Kaiser.
Like, where are the survivors buried? What? there are no... if he's Kaiser, he's not a Ptua Daka. That's what we hold.
But if they married while he was a Ptua Daka.
They didn't know he was
Kaiser. But once he's Kaiser, he's no longer a Ptua Daka. He's not frozen in time, like the time of the marriage. That's what we ended up saying. So we're good. If there are children... If there are children, he's not a Ptua Daka, in which case the kids are mamzerim.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he allowed to stay married once he's closer, or does he revert to as a Kohen?
That's an interesting question. If he's a Kohen and he marries her when he thought he couldn't have kids, he thought he was a Ptua Daka, right? And then afterwards he's no longer a Ptua Daka, is he now in an ongoing Isser to be married to? That's a good question. I don't know. That's an interesting question. I have to look that up. Interesting question. Okay. Remind
how
me
come the Ravid wouldn't argue on the Rambam in Isur Idiyah then?
Sorry?
How come the Ravid wouldn't argue on the Rambam in Isur Idiyah then, if they're really truly tied together, and this is the only source in Shas that ever says anything about Nesinim? The Ravid should have to disagree with the Rambam there, yet he doesn't.
The Ravid's position is that the Ptua Daka has lost his Kedusha, correct?
Mm-hmm. And what about the
fact? And then he'll read our Gemara. He will read our Gemara regarding saying Ptua Daka is mutter to the Nesina,
mm-hmm.
as saying that the Gezera. Sorry, well, he'll say he lost his Kedusha, and therefore the Heter. No, because then the Heter to Nesina can be the Raisa or the Rabbanan. Because again, we said that you could read that line either way. You could say Ptua Daka is mutter to a Nesina, either because he has no Kedusha.
But then you have no Raya.
Or because the Gezera is a Derabbanan and we didn't apply it to Ptua Daka.
But then you have no Raya to this case.
Correct.
Okay. So
but he could say it either way.
Okay, so
he...
Yeah.
Remember, he doesn't say he lost his Kedusha. He says, no big Kedusha.
That means he lost his Kedusha.
Well, maybe he doesn't. Maybe it means he doesn't have it right now. And then if he gets it back...
Yeah. Well, that is what happens as a result. That is what happens as a result.
So this is true. So he doesn't say that he...
Okay. We're going to leave Rabbi Abbey in the unenviable position of having 5 minutes for his shiur. So that's no good. Either you have to shut him out or you have to give him real time. But that's the position of the Ravid. The Magid Mishnah... I'm sorry, the Shulchan Aruch first. Take a look at source Chaf Beis. says Psuadaka Kushapcha Surum Lisa Yisraelis Umutaram Bagiras Mushukwaras. He is allowed to marry the Gioris, Vapilu Kohen Shub Tsuadaka Mutter Lisa Gioris Mushukwaras. The fish ain't no Bigdusha, so the Kedusha is gone. Right? Allah the position of who is that following? Ostensibly the Rambam, because he said the wording "Eino Bigdusha," so right. Va'afilu nesina o achas me'asvegos muteraslo ha'olub tzuadaka osir lava b'kol lo gazal nesina v'lasvegos. The nesina is derabanan, right? Like the Rambam wrote in Yud Beis Beis. Aval osir b'mamzeres vadosh re'asur ben atzora. He brought you the Rambam's wording. The Rambam says, despite everything I just told you that he lacks kedusha, nonetheless he's osir b'mamzeres vadois. And then in the Rama he says v'yesh matir na'afilu b'mamzeres. That some will actually permit for a mamzeres. He notes the position of the Raavad. The Magid Mishnah says you could actually resolve the Rambam's position. You can justify the position of the Rambam by saying that some Kedusha is indeed retained. Even though it didn't sound like that, there's an in-between. That's the Magid Mishnah solution. Take a look at source Chaf Gimel. Well, I'll tell you outside first, and then we'll see it inside. He says it's true that the Rambam sides with Rava number one regarding Nesinim. That Nesinim are only a Derabanan, and therefore that's not about Kedusha at all. Don't bring any proofs from the ability of the Tzedakah to marry a Nesina. However, he also sides with Rav Sheshes and Rava number two that Tzedakah lacks Kedusha, because after all, Rava recanted to follow Rav Sheshes, and therefore he permits the Tzuadaka Kohen to be with the Giyores. In other words, he's taking bits and pieces, right? Which is why he's asked this question. Maybe there's another sugya with Nesina. But the idea is that I'm siding with Rava number one as far as Nesina are concerned, but like we said when we read the Gemara, that doesn't really tell me what the rule is for Tzuadaka, whether he has Kedusha or doesn't have Kedusha. The answer could be Nesina are the Rabbanon in a Chanami, but if Tzuadaka either retains or does not retain Kedusha without it being relevant. So he sides with the view that he lacks Kedusha. And that's why he says Tzuadaka Kohen is allowed to marry a Gioris. Well, in that case, why is a Tzuadaka Osir to a Mamzeres? What are you going to do with that? So he says, the Rambam deduces from the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah permitted him to a Gioris. And it didn't say, and to a Mamzeres. It only said Gioris. So if you left out Mamzeres, it must mean Osir to the Mamzeres, because otherwise that's a bigger Chiddush. You would have told me that in fact he's Mutter to a Mamzeres. What's the logic of saying he has no Kedusha, but he's Osir to a Mamzeres? The answer is that Mamzer is different from the case of Gioris. Why? Where does the Torah say that a Kohen is Osir to a Gioris? Right, it doesn't. It's implied because we say that he's usher to a zonah, and we're going to give the Gioris the same status as the zonah for whatever reason. That's its own discussion. Therefore, he's usher to her. But it's very indirect, and it's not explicit in the Torah. That's number one. Number two, who's not allowed to marry a Gioris? A Kohen. Who's not allowed to marry a Mamzeres? Anybody. What we call this, in the case of the Gioris, is Lav Sheino Shava Bakol. It's a prohibition that doesn't apply to everybody. Prohibitions which don't apply to everybody have a lesser status than prohibitions that apply to everybody across the board. So in other words, Mamzeres is more severe than Gioris, even if he lacks the Kedusha which would prohibit him to Gioris, he has enough Kedusha that he's asked to a Mamzeres. Take a look at the Magid Mishnah inside in Source of Gimel. V'af agav dahad derava basraisa lab hilchasihi l'das rabbeinu u'kumosh nizvar perkev beiz nesinim kemish nizgaru mutarim dvar Torah. Even though Rava basraisa, the latter Rava, with his statement about how nesinim work, that nesinim are deoraisa, that the Rambam does not believe, u'kisvar kamaisa derava, rather he follows Rava number one, mikom still, Kavan to Rav Sheshes have a Pasha Leila Hetera, since it was clear to Rav Sheshes that this was Mutter, Verava to have a Dachila Haderbe, and Rava, who had rejected it at first, then recanted, Mikomakom Kaim Alanke Hetera Umutarin Bigiores. Therefore, he says, you know what? He's going to be allowed to the Gioris. Upasha de Masizan Hachihu, and if that's what the Mishnah indicates, Tiksani, Mutarin Begioris, Stam, Loshna Kohen, Loshna Yisrael, Zeu Das Rabbeinu. That's his position. Aval, Bimamzeres, Sova Rabbeinu Shu Asur. And when it comes to mamzeris, the Rambam says aser. Deilo, because otherwise, adetani masnisin umutaran begiores, listening to mamzeris, if you're going to tell me you're allowed to marry, that the Kohen is allowed to marry the giores, tell me that the psuadak is mutir umamzeris, which will be much bigger as a chiddush, it applies to everybody, not just psuadak Kohen, but psuadak in general. Ela masnisin lo tana ela giores. The Mishnah only said giores, to call ger meloik recall, as we know. As far as Mamzeres, he retains his Kedusha. The Hapag of the Kohen, La Bikdusha Seikoi, granted that as far as his Kehuna, he's not retaining his Kedusha. But Loyal Fin and Mamzeres, Shulab, Hashava Bakol, Mikioris the Kohen, Zlomaforish Lave the Christ. He says, we're not going to deduce the status vis a vis Mamzeres from the status vis a vis Kioris, because the status vis a vis Mamzeres is not vis a vis Kioris is not Mufurish in the Torah, it's not explicit in the Torah, and any Surah Shava Bakol, as I just explained, Kioris is only to a Kohen, Mamzeres to everybody, and if they said Mutter to Gioris, fine. But we're not going to extend that to Mamzerim on our own. And he says that's the Rambam's position. So again, to make sure we're clear, because I feel like anyone who saw this Gemara beforehand, this is all obvious to them. Anyone who didn't spend time breaking their head on this Gemara has got to be floating in a cloud somewhere, and through no fault of their own. So what we're trying to say is this. The Rambam says on the one hand, let's make it very simple. The Rambam says on the one hand that Ptsua Daka Kohen is mutter to a Gioris, implying he lost his status. On the other hand, he says Aser to a Mamzeres, implying that he still has some kind of Kedusha. You could take the Raavad's position, which is, yeah, there's the contradiction, and let's drop what the Rambam concluded. However, the Magen Mishnah says there's no need to drop it whatsoever. The Rambam can be held to be internally consistent as long as you accept that there are two categories of Kedusha. There is Kedusha, which is sufficient to prohibit you to a Mamzeres, and that the Rambam says the Mamzer, the Psuadaka still has. And then there's a higher Kedusha of the Psuadaka Kohen, which is indeed lost, and therefore he's mutter to a Gioris. All the business with Rava 1, Rava 2, and Rav Sheshes, if you didn't learn the Sogia, you can drop all that safely and still get this piece of it. But there's one more answer that I want to show you. And that's the answer of the Shev Shmaitza, which really opens up a whole other discussion that we're not going into, but I wanted to at least show you this idea. He supports the idea that some Kedusha is retained, like what the Magen Mishnah is proposing, but he does it in a different way, different formulation. The Shev Shmaitza writes, as we've already seen, the Rambam permits Psuadaka to marry a Mamzeres. Right? Permits a Psuadaka to marry a Suffolk Mamzeres. That was close. He permits marriage to a Suffolk Mamzeres. The Beis Shmuel says, I don't understand why you're going to permit that. Take a look at Source Chav Dalet. L'chora tema, lama mutter bisfekos? Why should the Psuadaka be allowed to marry the Suffolk? Hakaimalan, mamzer vadai osur bisuffolk mamzeres. Someone who actually is a mamzer. Zero Kedusha. Right? Is not allowed to marry a Suffolk Mamzeres. Right? Because maybe she's not a Mamzer. Right? Maybe she's not a Mamzeres. V'lama Suffolk Mamzeres Muteres B'Psuadaka. So if the Suffolk Mamzeres is not allowed to... You have to remember which direction the arrow is going. It's not the prohibition of Mamzer to Suffolk Mamzeres. It's the prohibition of Suffolk Mamzeres to Mamzer. That's our issue. If the Suffolk Mamzeres is not allowed to marry a Mamzer because maybe she is, in fact, not a Mamzeres, why is she allowed to be with a Psuadaka? Maybe she's not a Mamzeres. And in that case, it will be Yisraelis, full-blown Yisraelis, marrying a Psuadaka. That's the Beis Shmuel's very logical question. So he has his own way of dealing with it. But what I wanted to show you is the Shev Shmaitz's way of dealing with this issue, which applies to our understanding of the Rambam as a whole. And what he says is the following. Even though a Psuadaka loses, we'll see it inside after I spell it out outside. He says, even though the Psuadaka loses Kedushas Kehuna, right, such that he's now mutter to a Gioris, he keeps his Kedushas Yisrael. He is called Kahal. Then why is it he can't marry Yisraelis? Because of a Psulaguf. He has a mechanical problem. It's not that he lost any Kedusha whatsoever in that regard. He has Kedusha. And this is, again, this idea of partial Kedusha. He doesn't have Kedusha like a Kohen does, but he has Kedusha like a Yisrael does. And the reason he can't marry a Yisraelis is the Psulaguf. And what we're saying is, for the Suffolk Mamzeres, we're not going to decree an Isser for her to the guy whose only Psul is Psulaguf. Take a look inside of the Shev Shmaitza. Venira, it says, in Source Chafei. V'nira dekeven de amru b'shas perak asar yuchsin shtuki maitai ma'asar. I added in the words that are in brackets. The Gemara said, why is a shtuki? Shtuki is a suffix mamzer for our purposes. Why is a shtuki asar too a bona fide mamzer? Umasik, and they conclude ma'ila asu b'yuchsin. It's exerid the rabbanon. This decree of let's protect Yichus will only apply to full-blown Kahal marrying Psule Kahal. And therefore, Hasfekos, meaning the Shtuki case, the Safek Mamzer case, came in the Yeshbem Safek Yisraelim, Asumayla Shalom Yisarim Psule Mishpacha. They said, we don't want them mixing into people who are indeed from disqualified families. But it's only versus Psule Kahal, someone who has indeed lost that Kedusha. That's where they'll be disqualified. So the Safek Mamzeres will be Asura to the Mamzer Vadai. Because that's a psul kol. That's where there's gzeirat derabanan. Avol psul. Remember, I mean, all of this assumes that you remember. So I should state it that suffik mamzeres is mutter de'oraisa. The suffik mamzeres is only gzeirat derabanan. That assumes you know that. Avol psul daka kohen. Diladas harambam psul daka b'kedusha say koivaser b'mamzeres. But if you're dealing with a kohen who retains his kedusha according to the Rambam, such that he's retains his kedusha as aser u'mamzeres. V'hadelo yavo b'kal Hashem eino ela mishum psul aguf. The only disqualification for him to marry Yisraelis is because of his physical problem. Imkein havalik moshari surin. So he's like other isurin. There's no gezera of let's make an added decree to protect Yichus. There's nothing wrong with his yichus. His yichus is fine. His yichus is 100%. There's a mechanical issue. That's all there is.
So what about the possibilities of Mamzer?
What's that? Pesach?
Why can't he marry her?
Why shouldn't he? Yeah.
So why is that a problem?
Okay, so that's where I'm coming next. Hang in there. I was going one way. Now I'm going to go the other way in the moments that we have left. Yeah, but that's the idea. The Sheish Shmaisa is riding this idea that you lose Kedushas Kehuna, as someone who is a Ptuadaka loses Kedushas Kehuna, but retains Kedushas Yisrael, and therefore the Gezerah of Safek Mamzeres was never applied to him. That's the idea here. Okay.
What type of Psul Guf then would disqualify you?
This, the Ptuadaka.
From Kehuna.
Let me finish this first. I'm looking at your watch, and I see 4 minutes left. Let's finish this first. Okay. Good. So we get to Pesach's question. So we said that the Psuadaka is able to marry a Safek Mamzeres. So the Noda Yehuda asks the question, how in the world could this be allowed? Either the Safek Mamzeres is really a Mamzeres, this is why I brought you in Chavav, but I'll say it outside. He says, Manavshach, what do you want? Either the Safek Mamzeres is really a Mamzeres, in which case the Psuadaka is not allowed to be with her, ala the Rambam, right? I'm not taking Ravid's view. We're working within the Rambam. So he's asur to her as a mamzeres, or she's really a kshera, in which case she is not allowed to be with him. Right? That doesn't work. And he says, there is a maharit who says, and we quoted this, I think, when we talked about mamzerim, that a suffik mamzer is allowed biblically to be with a vadai mamzer and a yisrael. Because biblically, not midrabanim, but midrabanim, he's allowed to be. But that's only in sequence, not simultaneously. Because it's a tarte de sastre, right? You can't say, while I'm being with her, I believe, you know, from his side, that she is muteres to me, because she's puzzle, because then she's usher to him. And you can't say, I believe that I am... it doesn't work. You're employing contradictory premises.
Resolution of her status, leapfrogs her over it.
Yes. So the Sheish Meitzer responds in Source Chav Zayin. He says, "Ha'ma'ayin b'ma'arit yireh desafek ha'torah hitira b'taras vaday v'lo b'taras safek." The deoraisa for a safek manzeres is not, well, she's fine and we can assume everything is okay. It's she's fine because she is okay. By definition, safek manzeres is muteres. V'lo b'taras safek d'le'avi muter b'mamzeres u'b'yisraelis. V'afilu tarti d'sasri v'ein chiluk b'ein b'vas achas b'ein b'zeh achar zeh. Doesn't matter. Kevin de b'taras vada hitira hatara v'lo b'taras safek. The Torah permits her as a vadai, and that's the justification for how the Savig Mamzeres could be okay for him as a Petua Daka. Jeffrey, back to your question. We have another minute.
So is this any type of psul haguf, or just this particular case?
So give me another psul haguf case.
I don't know.
What would be a psul haguf besides psul daka kushafcha and that, you know, that, that family, so to speak, of conditions? I can't think of another one. Can you give me another psul haguf? I mean, the mum, but they don't affect this. Yeah, so we'd have to come up with another psul haguf in order to be able to deal with this. Mum has nothing to do with permission to whom you can marry.
Oh, I see.
Although you go back to the Shiduchin discussion, and then you can have a nice fun discussion about that. Okay, so the upshot of this, again, we define Suadaka, we noted the machlokas about whether it's inside the body, or you know, inside the pelvis, or not. We said that you have this machlokas regarding the status of the Kedusha, of the retention of Kedusha by him. You have the Rambam's position who says he is Asur to a Mamzeres. You have the Ravid quoted in the Ramah saying that he's actually Mutter to the Mamzeres. Right? That's a key point to remember out of all of this. And then we have the possibility, in terms of dealing with this Rambam, that he retains Kedusha to the extent that he's Asur to a Mamzeres, but loses Kedusha to the extent that, as a Kohen, he's Mutter to a Giyores. Those are some of the key takeaways from the Shir. Next week, God willing, Rabbi Avi will begin the discussion about a Bardas for Kiddushin, which is a huge and very, very important Lemaisa Halacha, Bizman Hazeh. Shkoyach, have a good Shabbos.